In a secure area of the University of Iowa libraries, lights have special filters to prevent damaging priceless documents. But curator Peter Balestrieri prefers to cover dozens of bulletin-sized booklets laying on a table.
I still keep everything that I'm working with underneath this cubby archival paper.
He picks up a fragile 20-page pamphlet called Science Fiction Collector. The cover has an illustration of a rocket, planet, and a man in a spacesuit.
And it's from May of 1938. And this is the era when, for most people, science fiction meant spaceships, ray guns, what I like to call the woman in distress.
This is one of 10,000 zines in a collection from the late Rusty Hevlin. Most contain short stories, reviews, and drawings. Zines are a platform for non-professionals to express themselves outside of mainstream publications. Balestrieri says it is important to preserve these independent voices for long-term study.
Very few scholars have had the time or the opportunity to do research in fanzines, and that's something that we're hoping to be able to turn around and make this really valuable resource accessible to them.
Almost all of the zines in the Hevlin collection were limited to runs of less than 100 copies, which makes all of them rare, and in some cases, one of a kind.
The things made it this far. We have to preserve them now.
Laura Hampton is a digital project librarian. With a high-resolution capture system, she digitizes every page of these zines. But scanning is a small part of the process.
So I'm working through them to marry them with a barcode so they'll be trackable, and then get the proper metadata associated with them as well. Figure out what's going on, who the editor is, where it was created, the volume number, title, issue number, all the things you would do for a normal serial.
Zines are not limited to science fiction. Some are about underground music or political movements. Photocopiers made publishing easier, helping grow what is now the most common kind of zine, the perzine, or personal zine. This is what Deb Anders Bond from Ames has been making since the 1970s. One recent series is called The Life You Ordered Has Arrived. It has pictures of mugshots taken from a 50-year-old magazine. Anders Bond imagines what crime these people committed, such as the difference between a picture of a white and an African-American man.
As I was making the zine, it became obvious to me that his crime was being black. And then there's a white man who's dressed very nattily and he's wearing a beanie hat and stuff, and I thought, well, obviously the charges are dropped for him.
If you think zines sound like blogs, Peter Balestrieri says, you're right.
The introduction of the internet made people realize that they could push all of this online, and that's the next evolution.
But the internet isn't stopping the production of new zines. In Iowa, they are distributed at art shows, music concerts, and from vending machines. Balestrieri wants to continue gathering as many old and new zines as possible so anybody can study them.
This is history from the bottom up. This is not the lives of famous people. Our main interest is in the overall history of self-publishing.
Balestrieri says the 10,000 issues in the Hevlin collection is the university's first attempt to make digital surrogates of zines and expects to be completed around 2018. Then he hopes the same can be done with every single zine in the collections department, which will involve scanning and transcribing more than 1 million pages of various sizes, subjects, and eras. In Iowa City, I'm John Pemble, Iowa Public Radio News.